Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Well, some kind of volume problem on the board. Let's see. I could barely hear you. We'll get that worked out at the break. Okay. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yes, hope you did as well.
I got to tell you what. This was an incredible week. This past week, culminating the weekend in the Trump presidency, but also in American history. You look at everything that happened just last week. I mean, look where we are right now, right? Like, if you get your news from the mainstream media, you are completely confused, okay? The Strait of Hormuz is supposed to be shut down. We're supposed to be by Iran. We're supposed to be in the middle of World War III. Oil's supposed to be, I don't know, 120, 30, 40, 50, pick a number, a barrel. Right? Like, all of that was legit going to happen. And I'm sad to say, even if you listen to, like, Fox Business, Cheryl Cassoni, I mean, the end was nigh. It really was. And Trump had screwed the whole thing up. And we need to, you know, just leave Iran alone. World War III, we can't afford it. Oil prices, blah, blah, blah. And then going back a little further, it was reported, remember, as fact in May, that we were going to have the worst month on record since the Great Depression. Stock market was going to tank. It had already started because of Trump's very unwise tariffs. And it was over, really. The economy was over. The Trump presidency was over. Oil is over. It's all over. I mean, wow. And look at how last week ended. Instead, Kevin Hassett, frequent Trump spokesperson, head of his economic council, wrapped up the week that was. If you spent a lot of time doom scrolling over the last few weeks, well, you should have spent a lot of time on something else. It was a waste of time. Once again, none of it happened.
The big news from the weekend, of course, is peace in the Middle East. But also, Iran, you know, basically didn't have any bullets left. They didn't go in and shut the Straits of Hormuz. They didn't cause oil prices to spike above 100, which was certainly the fear of markets. And so the risk premium, it's a risk-off moment that's really, really rare in American history and a sign of the incredible success of President Trump. And what it means is that oil prices, energy prices are going to go down, down, down. Gas prices are going to be down. People are going to have more money to spend on other things. And that's very, very positive for the economy. If you add to that, that we're about to pass the big, beautiful bill. I understand that it's likely, very likely to pass the Senate this week and be approved by the House over the weekend. You get all that on top of this big positive stimulus for a peace of the Middle East means that the U.S. is hitting in all cylinders. It's really, really good for the outlook.
None of this was supposed to happen, according to all of the smartest, best, brightest, and rightest people, Lee. None of it. And was nigh. And the funniest part was, remember, oil prices were supposed to go up. They were supposed to spike, and they dipped.
Yeah.
And then gasoline prices, you know, lowest they've been since 2021. Mm-hmm. Not supposed to happen, which, you know, why I say all the time, if you're listening to these talking heads for your business investment advice, you need to get some more sources. Yeah. And the sad thing is, Lee, if you spend any amount of time on X, as you know I do, there are people on X with larger audiences than these business shows who are right all the time. And that is why they are not on these business shows, because they want, you know, anti-Trump, gloom and doom, market to crash, oil, you know, it's all over. Tariffs are going to destroy America, on and on and on. And it doesn't happen. You know, if you were wrong this often, if I was wrong this often, we would not have jobs. No. It's to the point of absolute ridiculousness. You look at CNN even. Oh, they didn't destroy anything. Nah, there's no destruction. We just made it, you know, Iran mad. We didn't do anything. Okay. Well, wrong again. Just, you know, like, how often do you get to be wrong before nobody listens to you anymore? Nobody believes you anymore. And it's always the same. Wow, nobody saw this coming. So really exciting, a little bit frustrating. I mean, you look at just a roundup of last week. A ceasefire for now between Israel and Iran after the nuclear facilities are destroyed. Supreme Court ends the judicial coup by limiting nationwide injunctions. Trump secures 5% of GDP defense funding from every NATO country, amounting to billions. Rwanda and the Congo sign a peace deal, another war averted. Trump gets permission from SCOTUS to send illegals to third-party countries, Democrats and their voter drive most affected. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, did what they're not supposed to do, hit record highs. Again, we were supposed to be where we were during the Great Depression. All the talking heads agreed on a business channel. It was going to be terrible. I mean, again, even Cheryl Cassoni, Fox Business, who I used to quote all the time, she's had a funeral practically. You know, I had to just turn her off. I'm like, what are you talking about? Again, S&P 500, NASDAQ hit record highs. You remember the rhetoric of May? I mean, it is only June, almost July. I mean... If you were predicting all-time, you know, record highs for both of those in May, you would have never been able to comment on business media again. They would just get rid of you. That was not the refrain. Trump emerges victorious after a Senate attempt to rein in his Iran strikes through a war powers resolution.
Yeah, that went down.
Yeah, China trade deal. Well, has been signed. It is a framework for a framework. It's right. Not a final deal, but they're making progress.
Yeah.
Food giants joining the growing list, removing artificial dyes from their food products, something that the Washington Post, New York Times resisted at first. They tried to make RFK look cuckoo. He wasn't.
Which, not a very long time ago, they were calling for this anyway.
Oh, yes. No, before that, yeah. Yes, they were.
Until RFK Jr. was for it, and then, oh, well, there's got to be a problem here. This is going to create a problem.
Yes. We've got economic experts admitting total defeat over Trump's tariffs. They were supposed to be a disaster. They're not. Big Bulls made a return to the Trump administration. Was only gone 3 days. Thank God. That kid is talented. I love that kid. I'd just love to know he's out there hunting for this fraud and waste, because I know Democrats hate it.
Yeah, I just wish we'd actually get rid of it. That's the problem.
Well, okay, and here's what's really cool. I've been surmising this for a while, but Kevin Hassett actually said it on Maria Bartiromo over the weekend. I'm going to play that coming up. He is not that worried about the size of the spending in the big, beautiful bill, because he said, look, we're going to go back and do all these DOGE cuts.
Good.
We're going to do it with rescission bills.
Good.
I hope that's the case. They got to do this.
Yeah.
That'll make me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do it in the bill. We'll see. General Electric Appliances moving manufacturing from China to Kentucky.
Sadly, they are now owned by China.
I know.
I mean, it says General Electric, but that company is owned by China. But they are moving the jobs back here. That's a good thing. General Electric Appliance. Let me make that clear.
Yeah,
that's
appliances.
Not has nothing to do with the plant right down the road
from
our studios here.
Pentagon began reinstating service members wrongfully discharged for refusing the COVID vaccine. The DEI president of the University of Virginia resigned after pressure from the Trump administration. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, what a great week. I can't wait to see what happens this week. You know?
Be careful what you ask for, though, Tara.
I know.
With this many victories recently, we're due for some, a few things of bad news. But we'll keep our, you know.
Just statistically, right? I mean,
right,
this has got to happen.
Yeah.
We'll run all this down. But this was just last week. I can't wait to see what this week holds. We will be right back. We're going to run down some of that coming up next. So much winning. We almost don't know what to do. Yeah. Well, here, that's good news. On CNN, it's like a funeral. Losing is the Democrats' way, losing and destruction. We're about to see a lot of that in New York City. But enough about that. Scott Jennings, one of the few Republicans allowed on CNN, really laid it out well.
And he knows that the lower courts cannot carte blanche stop him, which hugely increases the power of the executive.
Yeah, look, this is a great week for him, not just because of this ruling, but earlier in the week, the Supreme Court handed him the ruling on being able to deport illegal immigrants to third-party countries, essentially. So he's on a little bit of a winning streak in the courts right now. And you know what a lot of Republicans are saying is, nope, we're not tired of winning yet. This happened. The stock market's at a record high. He brokered the ceasefire in the 12-day war. Peace broke out between Rwanda and the Congo. I mean, gas prices are at a four-year low for the summer. I mean, win after win after win. And this particular one is the most important because these individual judges had been, I think, unfairly stopping the president from governing. He won the election. They didn't. We don't have 600 presidents. We have one president. And now he's going to be able to actually govern. And so you could make an argument that this week or the last 2 weeks, the best week or 2 weeks of his entire presidency.
Yeah. And keep in mind, Trump was not supposed to win the Supreme Court battle against these liberal judicial dictators. That was huge. Because every Republican president going forward was not going to have a presidency. Folks, it had gotten so absurd by last week, and I don't think people realize how bad it got, that Trump had to sue all 15 district court judges, federal district court judges in Maryland, because they had just ordered him to stop all deportations for 48 hours. And they did it in a completely unconstitutional way. Normally, you have to have a case to rule on, you know, Jose versus the federal government. And you at least got to have a case to rule on, right? They didn't even have that. They just don't want their future voters deported. So they wrote Trump a letter saying, well, you know, we enjoin you. We stop you. Can't deport anyone nationwide for 48 hours. We need to study and look at blah, blah. It was a trial balloon, folks. Just, okay, we can just write a letter. And in all fairness, it was a court document. If we can just issue a court document saying, hey, no more deportation. They were trying that. No case involved. It's just we're liberal. We don't like it. We're judges. And we're going to pretend that it carries some weight constitutionally. And the media would have pretended with them. And then they'd have the, you know, Trump is a dictator meme going. That's how ridiculous it had gotten. Again, they didn't even have a case. If federal judges who are liberal with not even a case to rule on could just be like, nah, you can't do that or that or that or that or that, there's not going to be another Republican presidency again. This was an emergency situation by Friday. I mean, if we're going to be a Trump presidency, judges will just say, hey, you can't deport anybody. Sorry. And at that point, if that stands, I know they don't like something. Alligator Alcatraz down in Florida, which is set to open on Tuesday, beds for 5,000 illegals, while our governor, Henry McMaster, golfs and gaffes us off. What a loser that guy is. Judge could just order it closed down. Why? We don't like it. It deports our voters. Future voters. Unless the Chinese manufacture hundreds of thousands of driver's licenses for them, then maybe current voters, who knows? I mean, to show you how bad this has gotten, this is Attorney General Pam Bondi.
Liberal justices, judges have used these injunctions to block virtually all of President Trump's policies. To put this in perspective, there are 94 federal judicial districts. Five of those districts throughout this country held 35 of the nationwide injunctions. Think about that. 94 districts. And 35 out of the 40 opinions with nationwide injunctions came from five liberal districts in this country. No longer.
Okay, so there's little less than 700 of these federal district judges. They serve in 94 districts. And the way it was in America in normal times for hundreds of years was if you put an injunction on something, it was only for one of the 94 districts. That's it. For a specific case, for Jose, who doesn't want to be deported so that he can continue trafficking women and children, like that. So it would only apply to Jose, and it would only apply to one district. Trump could carry out whatever he was doing in the rest of the country. And these liberal judicial dictators, fake judges in robes, said, if Jose doesn't want to go home, then nobody in Trinidad or Aragua has to go home. In fact, nobody in MS-13 has to go home in the entire country, and Trump can't have a presidency. It was a form of bullying. Bondi nails it.
Americans are finally getting what they voted for. No longer will we have rogue judges striking down President Trump's policies across the entire nation. No longer. Today, in the 6-3 opinion, Justice Barrett correctly holds that the district court lacks authority to enter nationwide or universal injunctions. These lawless injunctions gave relief to everyone in the world instead of the parties before the court. As the Supreme Court held today, they turned district courts into the imperial judiciary.
They did. It was absolute tyranny. We've gotten so used to tyranny that Democrats inch us toward it step by step by step. But this was a very simple ruling, and this is exactly what I told you. The Judiciary Act of 1789 does not grant courts broad authority. There is nothing in that law that was passed by Congress, and Congress can abolish the district courts anytime it wants, saying, oh, hey, one judge out of 700 could just tell the president he can't do whatever he's doing. It doesn't. That's called a nationwide injunction. It doesn't work that way. They can only rule in one case on one person in one area, one out of 94. This dramatically reigns in the courts. Now, Congress should have done this, but it's run by Republicans and they're useless. Here's Ted Cruz talking about just how out of control Senator Ted Cruz this got.
The court said that one single district judge does not have the power to issue a nationwide injunction, a so-called universal injunction. This had been the preferred tool of the left to wage lawfare against President Trump. We've seen in the first 5 months of Trump's second term, more nationwide injunctions entered against the president by single district judges than we saw in the entire 20th century. We've seen more in the last 5 months.
Yeah, because we've had a moral and ethical decline. The wheels are coming off the clown car. Democrats are trying stuff that previous judges would have never even considered because they would have been mortified to do it. Finally, former federal prosecutor, Fox News commentator Andrew McCarthy nails this. I mean, just the impact of Trump gets to have a presidency now, and we resolve this in five, almost 6 months, not 2 years like last time. Remember when judges were ordering Trump to open the border? And now Democrats say, oh, well, Trump had higher numbers, you know, coming in. Yeah, because liberal judges ordered him to open the border during his last term. They're not going to be able to do that this time.
What they're saying is that this practice of nationwide injunctions, which we went almost 200 years of American history without having a single one, involves a court not only making a decision that binds the parties before it, but making a decision for the whole nation under circumstances where the court is the non-political branch that doesn't answer to the people whose lives are affected by these rulings.
This ruling seems like it has the potential to maybe break the chains off his agenda a little bit here.
I think that's right. This decision frees the Trump administration from having to, you know, run at the beck and call of every single district judge in the country, of which there are almost 1,000. And so what's going to happen now is that the Trump administration will have to stop its executive orders only in the courts where those judges decide against them, but still be able to pursue their policies in the rest of the country.
Breaking news, the Idaho shooter was found deceased, self-inflicted gunshot wound per NBC, tragically killed two firefighters, randomly guys who were fighting a brush fire. Third one injured. Very sad overnight. As Trump just notches win after win after win, do you see what happened with Canada? They got uppity. Yeah, they decided that they were going to have a digital services tax on social media companies like the one in Europe. That would have been a 3% levy on revenues. You know, say Facebook, Twitter, X makes from Canadian users. Just take 3% off the top. Trump just said, not only no, but heck no. He said, we're done. We're not negotiating. I'm just going to leave the tariffs on you. Good luck. What did it last? 48 hours before they withdrew it? Folks, that America has so much power. End of the year, crash in school. We were learning in science. There's a kind of energy that you have, inertia. That's actually energy because it's, you know, there's energy in something that sits before it starts to move. When it starts to move, it uses that energy, right? America has an amazing amount of power. Think of it as energy. And in Washington, really going back to the days of Bush and Clinton, it had become an embarrassment of riches. You can't use it. It wouldn't be fair, the patriarchy and all. We shouldn't really project our power. We should just take a beating. It's the American way. Trump said, to heck with that. Any other president, even a George W. Bush, would have let Canada do this to our social media companies. Any other president. And Republican Speaker of the House as well. I mean, think where we were this fall before the election. Okay? Not only were they taxing the Europeans, and Trump is negotiating with them on this now, they have their own DSA tax. They were saying, we have a right to censor Americans. And the top prosecutor in the UK said, we have a right to extradite Americans for trial in the UK for what they say online. No pushback of any kind from Kamala Harris. No pushback of any kind from Joe Biden. Not a bloody word from Mike Johnson or then leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. Didn't care. Don't that folk, but they were going to let you be extradited for trial and pretend everything was fine. They were going to do that. Even worse, France had moved. It's so easy to forget this. France had moved to begin trying Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Riley Gaines, and a whole host of conservative media influencers. They had launched a criminal investigation because all of those people had correctly said that the Olympic boxer who beat up a woman was a man. That violates hate laws in France. So they began the investigation. The prosecutor said, yes, we have a right to go ahead and extradite for trial from the U.S. That's how out of control things had gotten. And what this is Canada heading in the same direction with the DSA tax. What was the next step supposed to be? Oh, well, we're going to tell Americans what they can say online. We'll use the money from the tax to pay for censorship. We'll just go ahead and censor Americans. And the way they do that is to say, well, if you want X in Canada, you got to go ahead and shut up everybody running for city council or the school board on the right. Yeah, if SCOTUS says something that we don't like, they need to be censored too. Our censors will tell you what to say. Folks, we would live in that world if Donald Trump hadn't won. And so he's looking at Canada, Digital Service Act tax. They were starting with that. They were going to go to censorship. The European Union's already demanding censorship. And Trump said, not only no, but hell no. No, stop. You're not doing it. You're not taxing. They were going to use the tax money to build this censorship regime. So what they were going to do with it. And then wait it out till Democrats get back in power and then begin asserting the right again to extradite Americans for trial for things that they say online that break Canadian law. Democrats in charge would have loaded us onto the cattle cars and sent us. Mike Johnson would have pretended not to know. He would have issued a strongly worded statement and then fundraised off of it. Folks, it is telling. At that time, not one word from Republican leadership against it. Not one. Folks, I'm telling you, if we had lost this election, they would have sat by and watched Trump and Elon Musk extradited for trial. That's where we'd be right now. To see Trump chop block Canada like this, and just say, boom, no. Because, you know, we still have large tariffs on Canada. Well, they'll just stay there then. We just won't even negotiate. Good luck. 48 hours. Tax is gone. We always had this power. And yet, you had the leadership, you know, Biden, Kamala Harris, and then on the Republican side pretending, wow, if they want to extradite Americans for speech crime trials, like saying bad things about European leaders, then, you know, we can't stop them. Nothing we can do. Oopsie doopsie. Folks, do you know how bad it is in Europe right now? Do you have any idea? Americans don't. They still think, well, our allies are European. Those are democracies. No, they're not. They're totalitarian regimes. Do you realize last week alone, in Germany, or shall we say Nazi Germany, 170 pre-dawn raids for speech. In Germany, you can't criticize the leaders of that country anymore. If you're on the right, if you're on the left, it's fine. You can say whatever you want about right-wingers. Do you realize the single most popular party in polling in Germany is the Populist Party? It's modeled roughly after, you know, Trumpian partisan, Trumpian policies, I should say. Do you realize they are banned? They're the most popular party. They are banned by the second most popular party. They cannot be seen. They cannot campaign online. They cannot say true things. They cannot run on an anti-immigration agenda because they cannot speak. And people who try to say the things they do, 170 of them had their doors kicked in last week. Just last week. They have a national police force now for speech. And they want that here. And they'll get it too if Democrats start winning again, or they would have. But Trump just notched a major victory. I can't wait to see what he does to the Euro weenies with their taxes and censorship demands. Yeah, oh, and inflation was supposed to be spinning out of control by now, you know. Yes, because of the tariffs. What did your humble host tell you? That will not happen. Tariffs cannot cause inflation. The only thing that can cause inflation, and Jerome Powell, our Fed chair, hopefully soon not to be our Fed chair, knows that. Yeah, it was going to spin out of control. The market was going to crash. That was May. They were running that on the business channels, forecasting the worst month in terms of stock market implosion, stock market drop in May since the Great Depression. Fact. It was fact. If you'd gone on CNBC in May, in the beginning of May, when the tariffs hit, and said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and predict all-time market highs by June, they would have looked at you like you were a mental defective, like you were crazy, and then you just wouldn't be invited back. We just hit all-time market highs. That's not supposed to happen. Meanwhile, the average 4th of July cookout cost 30 cents less than last year. What does that mean? Inflation has been chop-blocked. It's been halted. Something we were told was not only possible, but the tariffs were going to somehow cause inflation. Tariffs cannot cause inflation. Folks, the only thing that can cause inflation is printing money and printing lots of it. That way, each dollar is worth less and you have to spend more dollars to get stuff. It's a very simple concept. And Jerome Powell knows this. Every college freshman who takes economics 101 knows this. This is not a hard thing, but we pretend a lot of things in this country. Like that tariffs can cause inflation. You see tariffs not causing inflation. That's because tariffs can't cause inflation. The good news is the American Farm Bureau says the average 4th of July cookout will cost $70.92 this year. Better begin stocking up, right? Get to the grocery store. That's down 30 cents from 2024. Meaning the average price for the cookout, $7 per person. That seems really cheap to me. I think I spend more than that. Maybe I've failed. I don't know. I'm a bargain shopper and I don't think I can do $7 per person. We're having a big get together at our house. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, the 12 items they factor in to come up with that math. Again, average price of 4th of July down, 4th of July meal down 30 cents over last year. Beef, chicken, pork chops, buns, cheese, potato salad, pork and beans, potato chips, cookies, ice cream, strawberries, and lemonade. They do not throw in the cost of a weight loss shot to get all that off. You have to eat it. Okay. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning sex line. Oh my gosh, I'm reading the first one. Texter writes, Senate version of the omnibus bill puts sex changes for children back on the menu, but we're supposed to be fully on board. Well, look, the good news is, the Republican leadership was trying to hide behind a girl, trying to hide behind the parliamentarian saying, oh, we've got to give illegal immigrants Medicaid. We have to. They found a workaround. So as of right now, cuts to Medicaid. In other words, cutting out the illegal immigrants, and there's 1.4 million of them that we know about for now, gone. So it's back in the bill. In other words, that's a good thing. They put the cuts back. They had gotten rid of them. What I can't find, the parliamentarian had ordered them, if you can find this, let me know, because I can't find it anywhere. The parliamentarian had ordered them to take the drilling permits out so that we can have rolling blackouts like Spain, because that's what Democrats want. And they had taken them out, which meant Trump had no way to fast track them in the whole drilling permit process for our coast was still locked down. I can't find anywhere if they put them back in. And she had ruled that they can't have drilling permits expedited in there. So I don't know. But the good news is defunding Medicaid for non-citizens, refugees, asylum seekers is back in the big, beautiful bill. Again, the law is clear. Federal law is clear. If you're not a U.S. citizen, you don't get those things. If you don't pay in and you're not a U.S. citizen, you do not get those things. Anyway, Republicans in the Senate managed to rework the original provision to clear the Senate parliamentarian's previous ruling. So we're getting around that. We're going to get the illegals off the dole. You put the illegals on the dole. And by the way, I can't find this either. The SNAP benefits, it also removed them from getting food stamps. I can't find if that's back in or out. I'm trying to find that. If you have it, send it to me. I hate to say that with research for the show. I cannot find it. But the good news is we're gonna get the illegals and the refugees off of Medicaid. We need that because we need them to self-deport. So anything that makes it harder for them to live here is a good thing. By the way, a million of them have already self-deported. That was big news last week too. New York Post said it was a million. New York Times said 770,000, but they're not in the workforce anymore. They have self-deported. So if we stop paying their bills, but buy them a ticket home and give them $1,000 to spend once they get there, which is what Trump's doing, they'll self-deport. Save us a ton of money. So that's great. All good news.